On today's episode, we talk to Anna Adams, the founder of the International Doula Life Movement. She will be talking about the awesome conference in November called the Tree of Life Conference, where Doc and I will be presenting.
Listen in. Let's talk about what a doula is and what this is all about.
Let's talk about death, baby. Let's talk about grief and mourning. Is it argumental or existential? What's it mean to me? Let's talk about death.
Basketball, psychologist.
Hey, Nick, let's talk about death.
Let's do it.
Doc, we have quite the guest today. We have Anna Adams. Anna, thank you so much for coming. Woo-hoo. Anna is the mastermind CEO, I might say, of the International Doula Life Movement. And as of last month, Doc, I am a certified doula through this. And this is an amazing program. So, Anna, thank you so much for taking...
You be dueling it.
I be dueling. dueling for the dueling. So, Anna, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
All right. So, the first question I got to ask, because I get asked this every time I bring this up, and it's always the older generation because they have no idea this new terminology. So, explain to me and our listeners who may not know what a doula is, a death doula. What is a death doula?
So a death doula is a non-medical professional trained to care for a terminally ill person's physical, emotional, and spiritual holistic needs during the death process. But you don't hear this very quite often, to be honest with you. But doulas need to be working with people before a terminal illness as well.
And I think that's a wonderful, and I try to convey this to individuals because they can't get their head around it, right? Because like the easiest way that I've always put it is like think of a birth doula, like what do they do for the birthing? That's equate that to death doula. But I said the wonderful thing about death doulas is you guys, and I say guys, and I don't mean that. I'm using the quotes here. You doulas do a wonderful job.
He, she, and they
do a wonderful job of pre-death, the death itself, and then you do post or aftercare is what we call it in the death profession. And that's an absolute wonderful thing because as a lot of us death professionals tend to be in one of those areas, we don't have the opportunity to move on to other of those areas. We wish we could, but we can't. So the wonderful thing about you doulas is that you are trained not only to take care of the pre-death experience, not only through the actual individual who is dying, but also the family that participates in that anticipatory grief if they have that opportunity, and then going through the death itself and then the aftercare or whatnot. So what made you want to not only become a doula, but what made you think of coming up with the International Doula Life Movement? Like, when did this all happen for you?
To be honest with you, years ago, I was already working in hospice in the crisis care and the inpatient units and realized what I was doing was that of a doula. So I sought out to look around at other programs and wanted to make it more official and was just blown away about the cost of programs out there. So I took a financial burden and I did a course that I financially regret, but don't regret who I met. I ended up mentoring those students from that group that I took the course with because they were all leaving and saying, I don't know where to begin. I don't know what to start. I don't feel like I'm confident enough to do this in my community. So I ended up mentoring those students and realized that this is a big problem that doulas were having. And so I started looking around. I did a research project where I met about 30 different doulas around the world and I interviewed them and I asked them, what did you like about your program? What did you not like about your program? What did you wish you would have had? And the biggest comebacks were to have affordable programming, to have programs that just didn't deliver nuggets of information, but really took a deep dive, to have a community to foster, to turn to. And so about 3 months or so after that, I launched IDLM, International Doula Life Movement. Our very first class, we had 49 students and the enrollments kept coming. So then we opened up another class. It was our weekday class. And from there, we are about to hit 1,000 graduated doulas across the world this year.
That's so cool. And it's absolutely wonderful because, like I said, I am certified in your course. And what I really liked about the coursework was you have the opportunity to do a person, you have an opportunity to do it on your own. And then what was also really cool about your program is it keeps developing too. It doesn't stop. You're learning and you're evolving with today's state of the decedent too. So I think it's an absolutely wonderful course. If any of you out there are thinking about it, please contact Anna about it. How do they get in contact with you for this program?
So they would want to go to www.internationaldoulalifemovement.com. They can follow us on Facebook or Instagram, or they can even call us at 210-721-3422. And I have to share with you, you know, all of our instructors here at IDLM are what we call boots on the ground. All of us are actively working as doulas. I personally work with a hospice team. I also run my own private practice, and I'm teaching too. So we really try to keep up with everything we want our students to have and our graduates to always have the updated things that are coming out. We need to be in the now, not just working from past experience, but to be working on things because medical, the side of hospice, they're constantly going through tons of changes. They are constantly going through more things that they have to chart about and do this about. And so it's taking away from the support that needs to happen with the client, with the true meaning, I should say, of what hospice was brought about and why it was, you know, invent, you know, the whole process of it. But at IDLM, we're constantly updating our material so that our students have the updated material that they can always go to. If they've purchased the program, once they purchase the program, they don't have to go back and pay for it. We are very passionate about changing the face of end-of-life care and death. We want to change that face globally.
Absolutely. Well, and it's I'm even seeing in the funeral profession how different things have changed. Even in the 10 years, I'm coming up to 11 years, but 10 years I've been licensed as a funeral professional, just at what families want, what they don't want, what the environment is, what the economy is too. And like you're also talking about spirituality too. So it's not just about the navigating the health side of it, right? It's also navigating the spiritual side. So walk me through a little bit of that when you talk about the spiritual side. Like, how do you help a family or the individual transition in a spiritual based doulaship, we'll say? How does that look like?
So our very first step as a doula is we want to build a relationship with our families that we're working with. One religion may do a tradition a certain way, but the way that family does that religion could be a little different. So we have to get to learn our clients. We need to build that relationship, build that trust, and learn from them. Because just as much as we're giving them and teaching them about what's happening, they're teaching us too, their traditions. Also, one of the things we do include in our programming is end-of-life religions. We talk about the different traditions in the religions, but we always tell our students to go in and make sure that they are also going back in and talking to them about the religions. What are their traditions?
It's amazing because there's so much that families really do need when it comes to grief and the individual itself that's dying, that they have such a hard time in today's scope of how the world looks at death in general, right? Because we've talked about this plenty of times, and I know Doc has talked to you about this too, about how the world is just really bad about even talking about death. So having an opportunity and a safe place to have a professional that knows how to help navigate the conversations, but also the experience of dying, right? Because that's the big thing too. Do you find with your doulas the same burnout that us death professionals deal with? Do you have a lot of burnout in the doulas that are coming out? How do you help with that? Because I know that's one of the biggest things that we deal with in the funeral profession is burnout within the first 5 to 7 years.
You know, there definitely can be, but we give a lot of support in our community for our doulas. We give them a free monthly grief support group. We teach them how to release after every client. When you walk in, releasing out whatever you're dealing with at home, whatever you're dealing with in, from your last client, releasing that in a contemplative way. And then even going in the home and even being in the home, maybe things are getting a little, you know, heated in there. So going, if we need to step aside, go to the bathroom and take a contemplative moment to refocus, and then leaving the home and letting that be released out as well before we move forward.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
For someone that believes that working in the death profession is a calling, what would you say to any listener out there that may be contemplating coming into this field? What would you warn them about, or what would you want them to know before they start the path of becoming a doula?
I think they need to understand that with doula work about building relationship, it's also building a relationship in your community. It's building a relationship with your case managers, your social workers, your hospices, your funeral homes. It's building a relationship, and you are
your psychologist.
That too, right? But we need to build relationships.
I had to plug that.
Sometimes you might need one.
Somewhere there's a bunch of psychologists that are like,
thank you. Yes. They brought me up.
But all disciplines, you need to build a relationship with all of them, because I'll guarantee you that 9 times out of 10, they may not even know what you do. They've never worked with a doula. And there is also that letting them know what you do so that you know, they know how you can serve their clients, the people that they're working with. So it doesn't happen overnight. It does not happen overnight. And that's the biggest thing I always tell people right off the bat. If you think you're going to take a course and have 40 hours a week with the client right when you get out, well, that might not happen right away. You have got to put in some work. I will work with every doula that wants to build a business and help them build their business short of going and marketing out there for them in their community. But I can only do so much, right? But I will guide them every step of the way. And that's one of the reasons why we give all of our students our personal cell numbers so that they can reach out to us. They can email us. They can text us. Y'all, I can tell you so many stories where I've had students get into some things that have happened where they are like, hey, this is just happening. I'm like, oh my God. And so they need someone to talk it out with. You know, we have to talk things through. There has been increases with even suicide and end of life for end of life clients that are on hospice. There is, you know, we've had students who have had to go through that with clients. They're like, I did everything. I tried to get them to open up. I tried to get them to talk about it. And they were shutting me, the family, everybody down, you know? So that's another reason why, again, we have that grief support. But people need to know you're not going to just come in this field and take a class and be able to go start tomorrow. No, you've got to go out and build your relationships. I will tell you, I had a student who graduated last year from our program. She was not very far from retiring. She quit her job at a very good job she had. She cashed in her 401k, and she, within a month, was working her doula business full time. But guess what that took? She was out at the networking events. She was out talking to her community. She was meeting people, and she's working. I mean, she's not a millionaire. Okay. We're not going to be a millionaire. So if you think that you're going to come into doula work and you're going to become a billionaire, millionaire through this, you're not. I can just tell you that right now. I mean, why do you think I have to work 2 jobs, right? I have my private practice and I'm working a doula hospice. I mean, through a hospice. So you have to still work, but I don't believe that you work if you're going, waking up every day, doing your passion. You'll never work a day in your life.
Oh, absolutely. And we have the same problem in the funeral profession, right? They see us with suits on and they see us with the hearse and they just assume we're all extremely rich people and we're not. They don't realize we're buying our suits from JCPenney's because we're ripping them going on calls all the time. They have no idea. And that's the perception, right, of death in general, too, is like we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to find out about that. I have a question for you when it comes to other death professionals. So I'm talking the funeral profession, hospice, palliative doctors, et cetera, et cetera. Do you find a lot of roadblocks with them? Do they seem to be, for the most part, are they receptive of what you're doing?
We have had a very welcoming response to doulas. We've got about 100 graduates here just from IDLM alone here in San Antonio. Some states are a little bit more conservative when it comes to it. But this is where we tell our students, come talk to us. Let us know about your area. Let's talk about it. Because you may not be able to walk up to anybody and say, I'm a death doula. Let me help you. You may not be able to do that. You may need to walk in and say, I'm an end-of-life educator. The terminology is the key.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it, right? Because the idea is you get stereotyped just from a word, you know what I mean? And especially as Doc and I know, the second you bring death into anything, in any conversation, you know, because we've talked about we're coming up with some stuff for high schools. And I remember talking to a lobbyist and she specifically said, and she cares for what we're doing. She said, don't mention death. Because the second you mention death, 50% of the people who are listening to you are going to shut that comment down, whether it be death anxiety, whether it be just in their general, that is just a no-no topic, taboo. It's an interesting thing because you're right. I get more receptive when I say I'm a death consultant more than when I say I'm a funeral director at times, which is interesting because it's literally the same thing. But it's just this wordage, this verbiage that really just equates to certain people. But yeah, in fact, I got to be honest, when I've mentioned that I'm a death doula to even the older generation, they're very interested. It isn't they're disgusted. They just look at me like, I have no idea what that means. You're saying a $3,000 word that I have no idea what you're talking about, right? Oh, that's what the kids are saying now down in Michigan. But, you know, so... Another reason why I wanted to bring you on is because you threw Doc and I an invitation to come to your conference, the Tree of Life Conference in San Antonio, Texas, which, by the way, thank you so much for giving Doc and I an opportunity to come out and talk about what we find so passionate. And that's November 1st through the 4th. Can you talk about a little bit about that? Like, how long has that been going on? Is this an annual thing you've been doing? Is this the first year? Like, how many speakers do you have? All this kind of thing.
Yeah, so this is our first year. We wanted something out there to educate the community about end of life and also something for our doulas. There's really nothing in person going on for doulas. And so we will be meeting November 1st through the 5th. We have amazing speakers coming to join us. We have Barbara Carnes, Francis Hall. Of course, you guys are joining us. Tony Lynch, Lisa Paul, Helen Bauer, Dr. Daniel Westcott. We're going to be talking about body donations. We have Brenda and Nancy from AdonaCare coming, which is The Care Plan, which is an amazing book as well. We'll be talking about a lot of different topics. We're going to have fun, but we're going to be fun learning. It's an education. It's hitting a lot of different topics where we're going to talk about children's of aging parents and relationships approaches to dementia. We're going to be talking about suicidal and existing occupations. We're going to talk about being human in a hospice world. So there's tons and tons of conversations and learning that we're going to be doing. We're also going to be doing a video documentary that we'll be having a movie night as well. So we're really, really excited about that. It's just a great way for everybody to connect. I mean, I know we have some Canadians coming into the U.S. for our conference.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're excited. We're really, really excited. We're going to, you know, we have Tula, who is a end-of-life doula who specializes in pediatrics, coming to educate. So just a wide range of topics. And you can actually go to our website and we have a tab that says conference. You can click the conference tab, get all the information, the hotel discount rooms and all that good stuff. You can even take a payment plan. We want to make it affordable for everybody. So we have payment plan options as well.
Nice.
Just our biggest mission of this is to dedicate and provide doulas and end-of-life professionals with, you know, a level of education and expertise, you know, so we can do this global impact together. We have to come together to do this from all different professions. We need to come together and just.
Sounds like a rootin' tootin' kind of.
It is, baby.
Woo
woo!
You know what they conference.
Say? You know what they say about Texas, Doc?
Well,
everything's bigger.
That's right.
So, Anna, Doc and I have said this, and we've talked about this too, is just the idea that we as death professionals need to do a better job of networking with each other. Because to be honest, the only way we're going to make America and this beautiful nation and hopefully the world someday better at talking about death is to be able to educate. And the only way we can do that is helping each other out. Because at the end of the day, our goal as funeral professionals, Doc's goal as a psychologist, hospice workers, doulas, we're all trying to do the same thing, which is help navigate families through grief and death. And it's sad when I come across individuals that put roadblocks for other death professionals in the way, because it's not helping. It's not helping at all. So this conference is a wonderful idea. I mean, if you know, funeral directors have their association conferences and all that. So it is kind of silly to think why haven't doulas had their own conference? You know what I mean? So it's about time. Thank you yet again for inviting Doc and I to talk. And if I'm not mistaken, we're talking about suicidality too, mm-hmm. when we come and have our conference. So if you're down in San Antonio or if you sign up for it, so please do if you're in the area or if you can get off, because it's going to be a really educational, awesome networking experience. Plus you can meet these twins from Michigan, which who would have thunk we would be popping down to San Antonio.
And let me share one other thing real quick too about the conference. So Friday, we have a beautiful partnership with Opus Peace. And Opus Peace is amazing. If you haven't checked them out, please do. It's opuspeace.org. And they are going to be doing an all-day workshop on Friday. And then we will have a veteran ceremony. So we're really excited about that as well. And we're looking forward to being able to recognize our veterans.
That's really cool. And yeah, all you veterans out there, thank you so much for putting the time in and keeping this nation safe. So thank you, veterans out there. Anna, are you ready to be part of this wonderful Q&A?
Oh, okay. I'm ready. I'm excited.
All right, let's spin that Q&A, Doc.
Q&A, Q&A, everyone loves that Q&A.
Anna, we're going to let you answer this first, okay? Are you okay. ready? Okay, here's the question. Putting you on the spot. Dealing with death at a young age versus old age. Do you feel there is a difference in losing someone when you are young versus losing someone when you are older?
I think there is. I feel like there is. Because when we're young, we're not taught about death. We're not taught about what's happening. And when we're older, we're losing that person that we love so much. So I definitely think there is. I really do believe there is. What about y'all?
I do think that there is a difference. What I find when I talk to especially children about death, they tend to be actually more concrete. And a lot of the times, which is very interesting, they're very much, they'll ask you the question. And if you answer it the way that they need, they kind of move on. Like, it's almost like, I'm okay with that answer. So therefore I'm cool. I find with children, and the problem with children asking about grief is a lot of the times the parents don't know how to answer the question, or the adults don't know how to answer the question. So by not answering the way that they want to, or not answering them at all, which is another problem, that question lingers in them, and it actually causes that to add more stress to a child. Adult, which is interesting when it comes to grief, is I think when we're older, we expect to deal with death better. And a lot of the times, obviously, we don't. So I think we kind of get hit in the face like a brick wall with grief. So when it comes to how we lose somebody younger and older, like, because that's another problem too, right? Because are we talking about a baby, right? They don't understand any of it yet. Comparably to a toddler starting to get into a kid, right? A child versus preteen, teen, you know, we're starting to get to college, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There is a big difference in those small years. What I find is in my profession, when talking to children, especially I talk to high schoolers a lot, they are so much more advanced than our society gives them credit for. In fact, I find sometimes high schoolers are have a healthier way of talking about their grief and trying to find information about grief than adults do. Because I think we've come into a world where information is everywhere. And these new, the new generation of teenagers are really, they're hungry for as much information as they can get, compared to our generation, which the internet was brand new when we were that age. So finding things was harder. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as easy. You know, we had to get an encyclopedia for things, which I know some people, that's aging even me. But you know, compared to the older generation, their grief was based on what they were told,
right,
by either the church or their family. So, and that was it. So yeah, it is a very, I do find it's a very different, and I find that depending on the person's stage of life is different too. So not only is it age specifically, but it's also what stage they're in, because as we know, women mature normally or are traditionally faster than males do. So they are already, so a 13-year-old boy compared to a 13-year-old girl is a different conversation, and they might be dealing with grief completely different in their lifespan. Does that make sense, Anna?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think too, I feel like with children too, if we can get them talking and answer their questions, like you said, concrete, then I think that we could really change things.
You know, one thing that I don't think we talk about a lot, and what my experience has taught me, is that children tend to be more creative when we talk about death, whereas adults tend to be more logic. So, you know, like things like play therapy or music therapy or things like that tend to be a little bit more successful with kids than they are with adults. Not saying that it can't be with adults. And I think that with some adults, it could be very cathartic to do art therapy or music therapy or even play therapy. If we can get an adult to take away the bias of looking silly by play, right? If they go back into their childhood and creativity, you know, I kind of look at it as right brain versus left brain, right? I think that adults tend to try to intellectualize death, whereas children try to creatively make sense of it. Mm-hmm. So, and I think there, you know, I always think back to one of my favorite movies on death was What Dreams May Come. And if you haven't seen that, it is a fabulous movie. But I love the idea of how vivid and creative and beautiful they make the afterlife to be in that movie. And I think that with kids, I think that's how they see, you know, if we're going to call it heaven or whatever, whereas adults tend to question a lot of things. And I also think that we live in a very death avoidant culture. So the idea of actually thinking about themselves with death is very terrifying for most people. Whereas kids, they just don't understand that finality yet. So like talking about death is, like what you said, more concrete, but it's also more creative. They have pictures in their mind of when you're talking about this.
Yeah.
So if you can play, when you're working, you know, all the doulas and any of the new therapists out there, you know, when you're working with grieving adults, just remember in the back of your mind that they tend to go more logic, where children are more creative and concrete. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That would be my difference between the two.
I like that. I like that mm-hmm. perspective a
I
lot.
Do too. I do too.
I think we all answered that pretty well. I'm not going to lie. We did a pretty good job there. Anna, before we close up shop here, yet again, give us how people can get a hold of you if they're thinking about becoming a doula, or they already are a doula and they want to come to the awesome Tree of Life conference. Like, where can they easily find you, or what's the best way to contact you, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure. They can go to www.internationaldoulalifemovement.com. They can also call us at 210-721-3422. Feel free to email us also at doulasupport@internationaldoulalifemovement.com.
Well, thank you again, Anna. You have been absolutely wonderful. Thank you for doing what you're doing. I want to thank you for educating all the doulas that you have that are helping all the families right now, because that's another thing we as death professionals sometimes forget, is by educating others, we're helping family after family after family. And I from the bottom of my heart, and I know from Doc's, thank you for your work. Yet again, if any of you have any questions or thoughts about the doula movement, please reach out to Doc and I at letstalkaboutdeathpod@gmail.com. Listen to us, send us out to all your friends on Spotify's and the Apples and reviews and stars, and really just go out there. And especially if someone's struggling with death and grief right now, send them, tell them about our podcast. It could really help their day. And as always, Anna and Doc, if you are not talking about death,
then you are not living. Thank you so much.